From Washington, I'm David Schultz, and this is Talking Tax. If you saw some folks celebrating a little more than usual during the holidays at the end of last year, there's a chance they might have been in the investment analysis business. These folks were cheering because right before Christmas, FASB, or the Financial Accounting Standards Board, dropped some new rules that will soon force companies to disclose way more information about where they pay taxes and how much. As you'll hear, the current standards allow companies to keep this information relatively opaque, and that makes it really difficult for people whose job is to scrutinize all aspects of a company to determine if it's a good investment. But that's going to change starting next year, and today's guest says he's, quote, excited to an embarrassing level. David Gonzalez is a vice president at Moody's Investor Service who works on accounting and financial reporting issues. He spoke with Bloomberg tax and accounting reporter Nicola White about what info the investing public will be getting under these new rules and why they need it. First, Nicola asked him to explain what type of tax information companies are currently required to report.
Right now, I would say that for domestic-only companies, we get income tax information and we can understand the impact of it running through the financial statements. But where the big problem comes is with international companies. And currently, the way the standard is written, international companies do not have to provide very much information about activities outside of the U.S. And I think black box is the right way to term it. And that's the way that we talk about it, is you have your domestic tax obligations, and then you have your foreign tax obligations. And a lot of the good disclosure that we'd be looking for is kind of bucketed between these two things. And so when you have the foreign side, it is a black box of many different jurisdictions, countries. But it's really hard from an analyst and investor point of view to understand what their exposure is, or even what jurisdictions or countries or divisions or however it's subdivided each company is exposed to.
I mean, just to kind of state the obvious here, so many companies have operations overseas. Look at the S&P 500. Look at the companies that get so many headlines. Apple has gotten a lot of headlines about tax planning. And its footnote, it tells you, here's our U.S. obligation and here's our foreign. But like, what can you weed through to figure out right now?
Not a lot. It's really hard, and this is just generic for all financial statements in U.S. GAAP, is because you have these two boxes, and they are very closely aligned. Understanding the U.S. tax obligation these days is not possible without understanding the foreign tax obligations, because there's crossover in the amount of taxation that goes through there. So when you don't understand the foreign side, it also obscures the U.S. side that they have when you're just trying to understand. And from an analyst and investor point of view, we're not trying to recreate their tax return in a bunch of different countries. Essentially, what we're looking for, and kind of with all financial statement information, is just enough information to ask smart questions and to be able to challenge management assertions that come to us.
Right. So I was talking to some people when the new rules came out about why analysts and investors care about knowing information about their tax obligations. And it's not this thing where you're like, oh, this company has a really low tax obligation. That's great. They're saving money. That is something that you will want to ask questions about, because you want to know how sustainable that rate can be. You want to know, you know, are they going to face a big bill down the line? That one piece of information just triggers lots of questions, right?
Yeah. And I think you said the word that I often say, which is sustainable. That's what we're looking for taxes. I mean, we use after-tax metrics, things like EBITDA, when we're looking at a company. And so when we're looking at taxes, the best thing we want is projectable and stable going out in the future. And if we don't have jurisdictional information, you know, tax laws change, things happen. And what we don't want to have happen from our point of view and from an analyst point of view is any surprise cash outflows or surprise, you know, liabilities related to income taxes. We like consistency and understanding that consistency. And if there is a really low tax rate, We would like to understand how that's being accomplished and how sustainable that is. Is it related to holidays? Is it related to something else? Will this go out for the foreseeable future? And we don't really need to project it dollar for dollar going out into the future, but we would like to ask these types of questions and say, how are you sustaining this rate? And what sort of risk can we assign to it as we do our own internal analysis?
Yeah, and then knowing what jurisdiction is a place where there are a lot of obligations, you'll want to know, is that country or jurisdiction going to raise taxes in the future?
Yeah. And we'd like to understand what types of countries are out there, like the specific country, that the jurisdictional information, because it's one thing to have, you know, I'm selling my widgets in a country with a really low tax rate right now. And it's another thing to have, you know, IP or some technology related product that you have four employees in this country with a lot of tax revenue running through. And those two scenarios have different levels of risks in the future of sustainable cash flow.
So that gets us to what we're going to get under this new rule from the FASB, aka the Financial Accounting Standards Board. They published a whole package of disclosures that got published in December, just right before the year end, and it's going to go into effect in 2025 for public companies. Let's talk about what we're going to get. First, let's say what we're not going to get. We're not going to get country-by-country disclosure for every single U.S. company under this rule, right?
No. We will get country-level and jurisdiction-level information, but we won't get them all.
Right. We won't get every single place, but we will get basically if it's a pretty significant amount. And the threshold is what, 5%?
That's correct.
And what will you get with that? How excited are you about this?
I think we've talked about this in the past. I'm excited to an embarrassing level.
Wow.
Being excited about income tax disclosure, because this is something investors, analysts have been asking for a really long time. And we have not been well received from any jurisdictions out there in the past. And this is the first real breakthrough in getting mandated financial reporting related to this.
Yeah. And for public companies, this is going to be in your 10K and it's going to be audited. So this is exciting. Like, it has an extra layer of vetting. And, you know, you can't just make up the numbers. It's going to be good stuff.
Yeah. I think that we'll talk about every part of this, but that rate reconciliation for public business entities is something that I would have never dreamed we would get 2 years ago. I think it is a lot of information out there, and it is an example of, I think, good standard setting, really listening to the analysts and investors on what jurisdictions are going to present risks for us and highlighting those and not allowing those to slip through the cracks.
Let's take a step back for a second. The rate reconciliation table. So it's kind of like what it sounds like. It's a table where you start with your statutory tax rate, which for U.S. companies is 21%. And then you get to your effective tax rate, which is what you end up paying. And I know that's an oversimplification, but the table basically says how you got from the statutory tax rate to what you actually paid. So let's say the statutory rate was 21% and your effective rate is actually 15 or 14%. You write down all the different deductions and credits or whatever that got you there. But under the current rules, we don't have a lot of specification of all the ways that we get to the effective rate, right? Is that an oversimplification?
Yeah, I mean, from a very high level, that's perfectly fine. I mean, you start at your statutory rate, you end at the rate that is on your financial statement. So pre-tax income divided by income tax expense or vice versa will get you the rate that's on your financial statements. And if that is really low, you have to walk it down starting at your statutory rate. The categories are not really required, and there's lots of inconsistency between the start and the end. There tends to be a category called foreign tax rate differential. But like all the other disclosures in income tax, this is all different jurisdictions that are foreign there. And that tends to be the largest delta for companies that have a low effective tax rate. But that one number, we know that they have a low effective tax rate due to foreign operations. That's kind of inherent for most of these companies that we pick up these financial statements. But not being able to understand the jurisdictional split or understand anything else into that is where the problems come from.
And that's where kind of a lot of the complaints about the black box come in.
Yeah.
I'd also like to say it makes it a lot easier for reporters, too. We go through an awful lot of financial statements to try to compile, you know, try to get story ideas or to compile data about, you know, 10 companies did XYZ. And when the footnotes are in all different places or they use different language or the lines are different, it just it makes it really difficult. So I can't even imagine having to do that on a much broader scale.
Yeah. I mean, it just makes us have to use maybe a lot more non-public information in our analyses that we are going through when we're talking about this. And that's the thing, is our goal is to get as much into the financial statements and get it audited so that we can have it out there and sort of democratize the information that is coming from the companies.
So this took a very, very long time. It took 3 proposals and 7 years. I think it goes without saying that getting companies to get on board with disclosing more information about their taxes is a bit of a lightning rod. What do you think about where we finally ended up?
I think we have a very good standard here. And I think it's a really nice balance of covering the material risks of, you know, not having a sustainable tax rate in the future, covering reasons that could possibly be in there. There's so many more questions and analysis that we can do on taxes now with this information. And I think overall, this is a very good step for U.S. companies. From our point of view, we do have, you know, the rate reconciliation is the highlight here, and that is only public business entities. And we do have the same issue for private companies. We will get some qualitative information from this, but having the data is the key. So outside of having the limitation of the private companies, which is often something that happens, I think this is just a very good standard for users.
So what are you going to do with all this new information when you get it?
I don't know. I think I will
pop some bottles.
I just want to understand it, really, and you know, have good questions that come out of it, and we can ask companies that come from it. And there's a lot of assumptions that we've been making and talking to companies about over the years, and really to see it come through the financial statements and see how this is presented. And I think one of the other things on the rate reconciliation that we didn't talk about that I think is really nice is there's income tax credits out there, and they're required to be disaggregated by type and kind. And with the new legislation in the United States, there's a lot more tax credits out there. And how those tax credits are used, when they're used, how they're affecting the cash flows of the company, I think will be a lot more apparent in this.
That was David Gonzalez, a vice president at Moody's Investor Service, speaking with Nicola White. And that's it for today's podcast. You can find up-to-the-minute news and the latest tax and accounting developments at our website, news.bloombergtax.com. That website, once again, is news.bloombergtax.com. Today's Talking Tax was produced by myself, David Schultz. Jeff Harrington is our editor from Washington. I'm David Schultz. Thanks for listening.
In a global tax landscape that changes by the day, it's what you don't know that can leave you exposed. At Bloomberg Tax, we provide market-leading intelligence and practical applications to help tax professionals work smarter, faster, and more accurately. Our solutions provide the insights you need for game-changing outcomes. To revolutionize your performance in real time, the difference is Bloomberg Tax. Learn more at pro.bloombergtax.com.